Hi, I'm Stephen John Drew from Better Podcasting, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Thursday, August 3rd, 2017, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Lauren, happy National Watermelon Day!
Yay! You know what's the best way to eat watermelon?
With alcohol?
Yes, I was gonna say, just soak that sucker in vodka.
I will definitely give that a go. I got a watermelon right out there, ready to go. Would I still be allergic to the alcohol?
I mean, maybe. Probably, in all honesty.
Maybe I'll just stick to the plain watermelon.
Yeah. Watermelon, a little bit of salt.
Do you know, Amazon told me today on my personal device that the world record spitting record for spitting a watermelon seed is over 68 feet.
I'm trying to think of that in terms of me. Like, I am just slightly over 5 feet tall.
It would be at least 3 or 4 lengths of your car.
That's a lot.
It is a lot indeed. So, as you cogitate over how long that is, we'll continue on with the show. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist on Netflix, Legion on FX, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because homeless hipster is not a good look. Also, by the way, that world record for watermelon spitting is 13 and a half me's laid just end to end.
13 and a half Laurens. That's not enough Laurens. We need more clone Laurens.
Got a multiplicity situation going on.
If you'd like to talk to us about homeless hipsters in New York, you can go to our website at legendsofshield.com.
Or if you want to talk to us about homeless hipsters, you can call us at our voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
If you want to leave Lauren a message on our Facebook page about homeless hipsters in New York, you can go to our Facebook page at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
If you want to leave all of us, SP included, a message about homeless hipsters, New York or otherwise, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to leave us a message on our YouTube channel about homeless New York hipsters, you can do so by going to youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
You know, Lord, we talk often about the apocalypse. We talk about world events. We talk about massive climate change from time to time here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And unfortunately, all of that seems to have grabbed one of our co-hosts today, Haley.
True. She now lives in the, how do we want to refer to it?
Hotter than H desert?
Yeah, usually it's kind of a hellscape. Right now, it is underwater, I guess.
So it's not frozen over, but it's flooded.
Yeah. So it's like next best thing, frozen over.
So Haley wanted to be with us tonight, but unfortunately, the weather gods have prevented her from joining us in this third discussion of Iron Fist.
Yes, blame Thor.
Why not? We
start a hashtag, blame Thor.
Blame Thor, indeed. So with that, we're going to get on to the main event.
Do we have to?
We're going to be talking about the third episode of Iron Fist, whether we want to or not, Lauren. This episode was entitled Shadow Hawk Takes Flight. It was directed by Tom Shanklin, who has 22 directing credits spanning all the way back to 1995. That include a bunch of shows that I haven't seen, but it also includes an episode of Jericho, an episode of The Leftovers, three episodes of House of Cards. So this Tom's got some cred, and this episode of Iron Fist.
Yeah, and an episode of Luke Cage. It was written by Quentin Peoples, who has writing credits back to 1993, most of which I haven't seen, but he has three episodes of Flash Forward, four episodes of Unforgettable, one of The Last Ship, three episodes of 11/22/63, which I keep meaning to watch. Actually, they were filming when I was up in Dallas for a day for, I forget why, but I was up in Dallas and I had to wait for a while because they'd closed down the freeway to film. And he wrote both this current episode and Black Tiger Steals Heart. Are you sure this is the right episode? Because this one is listed on as a Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch on IMDb.
You know what? I am mistaken. I did not correct the show notes. This episode is the third episode of Iron Fist, and it's called Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch. So my apologies to Tom and Quentin for calling the episode the wrong name. Once again, that is Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch. Quentin also is the producer for, one of the producers anyway, for Flash Forward, The Last Ship, 11/22/63, and Iron Fist. So between the writer and director, we have some seasoned individuals that have been involved in very successful projects, some of which that have been lately. So they're on the top of their game and they brought their top of the game to this episode as much as they could. And we'll talk about that starting right now, actually. So what is the first highlight that you told me about this episode, Lauren?
Top of my head. The thing that I really looked forward to, other than my usual yay Colleen Wing, the return of Jerry Hogarth from Jessica Jones, played by Carrie Ann Moss, referred to here by Danny Rand as J-Money.
J-Money! Woohoo! Never had an office, had a card table for a desk in the copier room.
Yeah, it was nice to see her again. And was it just me or was she maybe a little bit softened from the last time we saw her? Like, maybe, you know, getting stabbed a few times caused her to reevaluate her life a bit. I mean, she's still, you know, a badass lawyer, but she seemed a little more human.
Benevolent, maybe, would be the thought that went through my mind. However, keep it in context. She sees Danny Rand. She's going to tase him. She's going to take him out. And he...
I mean, fair.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I saw homeless hipster Danny Rand come up to me and say, "Hey, J Money," I'd be kind of worried about it too. But she is not taking care of him when she ascertains who he is out of the benevolence of her heart. She's taking care of him because she knows cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching that Danny's going to be worth a lot of money if Hogarth is actually signed up for this multi-billion dollar company.
Exactly. Like, she's like, okay, no, I'll represent you for free. It's just that I'm going to be your exclusive lawyer now. My company is going to represent you exclusively. He's like, okay, deal.
So keep that in mind. It's not entirely altruistic, although as a lawyer, you have to do some pro bono work. And I wonder what she does. But I guess this would be considered pro bono until she actually gets a retainer, which is going to be quite big. So there you go. It was nice to see her there. It was nice to see the Marvel universes connecting through somebody. And I don't know if this is the only time we're going to see her during the series or not. I haven't looked that far ahead, but we'll see. So there you go. And I know we've got Claire to look forward to, too. So yay, yes. Claire.
Speaking of connecting through other shows, we hear a familiar voice, if not see a familiar face. Madame Gao shows up to bother, boss around, I guess.
Harold. Harold Meacham.
Harold Meacham.
Mm-hmm. Madam Gao, Wei Ching, right? Is that how you pronounce her name? Wei Ching? Wei Ching Ho? Or is it Wei Ching Ho? I'm sorry, because she's a wonderful...
Wei Ching Ho.
Yeah, she's a wonderful actor, and it was good to at least hear her voice and see her silhouette on screen, even though it might not have been her, might have been a body stand-in, but Madam Gao is back in and obviously in charge, making Harold kneel in the glass.
On broken glass, man. I mean... Ouch.
It wasn't just his knees. He had to get his hands down for some reason. I didn't figure that out. Why ruin both your hands and your knees?
Prove a point.
Well, she didn't force him down. He just went down.
I'm guessing he's had to do that before.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And he treats her with a lot of fear and respect. Obviously, she can pull one over on him or something. I'm not sure what she has on him, but she can do something to him.
Well, we know he's afraid of the hand, given what he said in previous episodes, because that's the whole reason he wants to keep Danny around.
That's right.
And
he lied about that, too.
I mean, wow, shifty guy lying. I'm shocked.
By the way, I think I was in the hospital with my son last week, or I could have been at the gym. I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw the Lord of the Rings trilogy playing and I saw him on the screen. I was like, oh yeah, I'm watching him on Iron Fist right now.
Yeah, yay, Faramir. It's always fun to see, you know, people that you recognize and stuff, and it's like cross-pollination of fandoms.
Yay. Yeah, it was at the hospital, by the way, and it was at the end of the second movie. And I remember that because I remember the whole dwarf toss me scene. The Two Towers.
Oh, I love those movies. So I have made no secret of the fact that I absolutely adore Colleen Wing and Jessica Henwick. And this episode just seems filled with Danny completely disrespecting her. He goes down to the dojo. He's blasting his music. He's doing his thing. And she's like, come on, what did I tell you? GTFO. And then later, she's teaching a class. She has to step out or something. So her students are messing around. He comes in there. He starts teaching them a completely different form of martial art. One guy starts messing around and he assaults that guy.
Yeah, he does.
And she's like, come on, I'm trying to make this a safe place for vulnerable kids. Danny, what the hell?
He didn't just smack the kid. He took the kid down with a stick.
Which, again, he's using a kendo shinai, which is a very specific type of sword. And he's trying to do, I forget the name of the sword form, but it's what you do with a Chinese sword that's used in Shaolin type martial arts. I'm blanking on what it's called, but it's the specific type of long sword.
Is it called tiger form? Because tiger form was talked about in this episode.
Tiger form is martial arts. It's close. It's fist.
Close in.
It's hand to hand. That's the word I'm looking for. But it's like the balance isn't there. You use a specific type of weapon for this. It's like if I go into a ballet class and I start trying to teach you how to tap. It's not the same. It's a similar... Yeah, they're both dance moves, but they are not the same skill set.
Do you know how to tap dance, Lauren?
No, I did not take, I took ballet lessons, but I did not take tap.
See, all of a sudden I was thinking you were going to tease me with a tap dance performance, but no, you got to go all ballet with me. Well, we all will have to do the special Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nutcracker edition later on this year. One thing that I did enjoy from this episode, aside from the disrespect that you were just talking about with Danny with Colleen Wing, and that's not, I didn't enjoy that. I agree with you. That was disrespect. Was Joy Patel's performance, because I didn't quite get a hold of exactly where she was going throughout the entire episode. But what she pulls off twice in this episode, complete conniving surprises. One with the Patel acquisition of basically trading human organs for the purchase of property in, I believe it was Brooklyn, the pier in Brooklyn. I could be mistaken about that. And the next thing was completely flip-flopping on her brother and giving Danny what he needs for identification.
Yeah. Again, the theme of this show seems to be the women are all super ultra competent and the guys are kind of useless.
Joy is completely competent, but the character was so well written in here. I have no idea where she's going. Where is she allied? Like, she had that nice conversation with Ward about Ward wanting to leave the company, right? And that could be the impetus for her trying to push Ward out, bring Danny in, and then taking complete control of the company because she knows she can manipulate Danny eventually. This could be a long play for her. I have no idea, but it definitely seemed to me like she's got something in mind and I have no idea what it is. And I'm liking just watching her plot and plan.
Speaking of Danny and Joy, again, Danny just showing no respect for people. Although this is under the guise of respect. He shows up at her place where she's told him, I don't want to see you anymore. Covers the place with like flowers and oranges, which by the way, I was Googling this earlier. And while there is a tradition of offering food to Buddha, I can't find anything about offering oranges to people as forgiveness and stuff. I Googled all afternoon and couldn't find anything about that. So this started my whole, well, what do actual Buddhists think of this show? And I'm still looking for that. So if you are Buddhist or know any Buddhists who have watched the show, please let me know because I have only a surface level understanding of Buddhism. And it's kind of clear that the writers only had that level of understanding too.
Or less.
But he shows up and he's just bothering her. And again, this guy cannot take no for an answer.
Which is good. He's being persistent.
But the thing is, one of the tenets of Buddhism is take nothing that is not freely offered.
That's fine. But I don't think he's going, well, I guess it applies to non-monetizable things too. But the thing that I was wondering was, what is he really after? Is he after friendship? Is he after family? I don't know exactly what he's after. It seems like he's after family and he could care less about anything else. But the one thing that's personally identifiable to him is his name. And Ward puts that, I don't know, actually, it could have been Joy. The Meachums put that clause in the buyout of $100 million that you need to change your name. I think he might have actually taken that buyout if it wasn't for the clause to change his name. So he's kind of forced into protecting his name.
Yeah, I think, honestly, that's one of the more understandable things that he did. Because, again, it's what he has. He's lost his family. This is pretty much all he has left is his name and that legacy.
It was very interesting. Where was it at? Was it at the restaurant when Joy basically says, I am not your sister. Ward's not your brother. We don't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
That was harsh.
I don't remember where it was, but I remember her saying that.
So she is definitely on both sides of the fence throughout this entire, she had to have been, in my opinion, she had to have been the one to give the little clay pot, tray, whatever the thing was, to Jerry Hogarth for Danny to be able to claim his identity.
He could have snuck in and stole it too, because remember how easily he snuck in last time?
That's true, but I just got the opinion that she was looking at it earlier, tipping off that she did, and Ward even looked at her. And then we overhear Ward through Danny's ears saying Joy betrayed us and gave him the thing to identify him. So,
yeah. So, yeah, it very likely was Joy. Speaking of which, he at first he's like, OK, I'll go get my medical records. I guess I broke a leg. What did he do? He broke a leg when he was skateboarding as a kid.
A wrist, I believe it was.
A wrist. That's it. So he's going to go get those records. And instead, the place gets set on fire.
And we get the very important CGI of the Iron Fist breaking a brass knuckle. I mean, the whole episode was set aside. The CGI budget for the whole episode was there just for the Iron Fist to break brass knuckles. I think that was worth it. I mean, I was...
To be fair, the Iron Fist effect is really cool.
It is. The effect is cool. It's almost like an ascension effect, actually, when you take a look back to Stargate with Daniel Jackson. I'm saying that in jest, though, about the CGI, because I think at this point in time, we need a little bit more than that. And it is very clear and painfully obvious to me that Danny, as they're filming, is still learning the martial arts, which he's supposed to be an expert on. And he has to go through the motions of the actual fight scenes, let alone the training scenes, painfully slow. And I don't know when they were filming it, what they thought they were going to do it, if they thought speeding it up would work or what, but it's just not working for me. I can definitely see that Danny Rand does not know what he's doing with martial arts.
As an aficionado of martial arts movies, it's painful. It's painful to watch.
Yeah.
Like, watch this and then go watch a Jet Li movie. Go watch a Stephen Chow movie. It's just, wow. It's not nearly anywhere on the same level.
No, unfortunately. And I'm not an aficionado of martial arts. I mean, I've trained a little bit in general martial arts, but nothing specific. And I can't perform at the level of the superheroes that you see on TV. I all credit to them. But if you're going to show me somebody like Danny Rand, who's supposed to be an expert, and you've got the money for the fight choreography and the effects behind it, you better make it look real. And this is just not looking real to me, which brings me to a point, Lauren. I told you I was going to ask you a question before we started, and I'm going to ask you a question about the producer, the showrunner for this, Scott Buck, who's now, I think we've heard, has been removed for season two. I think a new showrunner has been brought in.
Yeah.
Is Scott Buck the Marvel equivalent of Zack Snyder over on DC?
I would not say quite the same, in that he doesn't have the fetishy thing going on. Zack Snyder, if you watch any Zack Snyder thing, he really feels the need to sexualize just everything.
Okay, that's fair.
But he's definitely not up to the same quality, I feel, as the other showrunners of the Netflix shows.
Yeah, so that's my point, is that if you take a look at the works of DC as a whole, and you take a look at the works of Marvel as a whole, and then you bring in these two guys into the works, and while I did personally enjoy Man of Steel, I thought Batman versus Superman was an abomination. I know he didn't have anything to do with Suicide Squad, but he was involved in the writing around that in general sense forward, at least at the beginning. And I think he did grave damage to the DC movie universe. I forget what it's called. It's not DCEU, is it?
DCEU. DCEU. Yeah.
And then over here on Marvel, where you have this great thing going on the small screen with the Netflix series, you bring in Scott Buck, and it's like, eh.
To his credit, though, I remember I was following kind of the production of Iron Fist, and it was just plagued by rumors that they couldn't really find a good story. So, and it's kind of the same thing with Inhumans. It was just kind of plagued from the start, even when it was still going to be a movie, that they just couldn't lock down any really solid ideas for him. So he might just be the victim of getting too rushed crap properties. The thing is, neither of them should be crap properties. There's a lot of really interesting stuff you can do with Iron Fist and a lot of interesting stuff to do with Inhumans. But if you rush anything, no matter how good the source material, it doesn't matter how good of a creator you are, it's going to suffer.
I can see how Inhumans was rushed a little bit. I'm having a little bit of problem seeing Netflix Russian Iron Fist, because after Daredevil, they made this whole plan of boom, we're going to have this whole mini Defenders universe, and they knew this was coming. So I don't know what the rush was in the production schedule.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing was nobody was able to present them with a pitch for Iron Fist that they really liked. And I guess it was down to the minute, and they were like, here, we'll fudge something.
Once again, Marvel, if you ever find yourself in that kind of conundrum, we have Lauren here. We have Haley at home. She'll be on the podcast next time. Again, these two ladies are for your enjoyment. You can hire them. They will give you great stories for any of the Netflix series. They'll give you excellent one-shot productions. Just come on. They're available to hire. I am their agent, and I will take a modest 40% from their salary. So go ahead, contact me, and I will write the contract up. They will sign it. I promise you they will sign it. And I need my personal trailer on set, by the way. And that is how it's going to go. Yeah.
Well, that's only fair.
Yeah, that I produce the podcast. I'm presenting this opportunity for you to work with Mara. Anyway, my point is Haley and Lauren could have done a better job at coming up with stories for these two properties. And Haley hasn't really read all the comics yet, but she knows the characters well enough to do it. aside from what you got. So they don't have the experience in production, though. You're going to have to bring in somebody that's experienced with production. Who would you like to work with? Are we talking Jon Favreau or?
For Iron Fist, Stephen Chow. That is my ideal.
There you go.
Like,
Stephen Chow.
Dream right there.
Stephen Chow, Lauren and Haley, and you got yourself a bang up season two. All right, back to the episode here. That was a little bit of a sidetrack. We need to talk about Fight Club. And I know you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, but we're going to talk about Fight Club. So, Lauren, tell me about Fight Club.
Okay, so to work off some stress and get some money, Colleen signs up for Fight Club. And she goes in and she calls herself Daughter of the Dragon. And she's there and she's this tiny little, you know, woman. Hold on, I need to see how tall she is.
I don't know, but she was pretty short even for the announcer.
Yeah, she's 5'6" and a half, according to IMDb, which is taller than me by a good bit. But she's shorter than like everybody there because they're all these like massive hulking dudes. Bills herself as the Daughter of the Dragon, which made me squeal, and then proceeds to kick everyone's ass. I loved when she was like, "Are you sure you're up to this, little girl?" She's like, "Call me that again."
That whole thing was great. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I did. I enjoyed that scene in the whole thing because the whole underculture thing is not normally my thing. But as I was just watching it going, oh, I thought she was just going to take him down in three punches. But no, she took some damage. He was getting some hits in.
Yes. Again, it's a different type of fighting. It's not, you know, it's not kung fu. It's just her letting out her aggression. For a while there, she's toying with him. And people need to do things to work through their stress. I play Overwatch. She goes to Fight Club.
How's Overwatch coming, Lauren?
Pretty good. I'm doing competitive stuff lately, and I'm doing pretty awesome with Zarya.
Man, I wish I had time to game. I got all this great equipment around the house, and I just don't have time to use it. Go figure. The perils of podcasting success. You just don't have time to do a lot of the other great stuff around there. But yeah, this Fight Club scene was noticeable because she was burning off steam. She was getting money for rent money to fix her door. That's all important. Mm-hmm. She took care of herself at the beginning of the episode, which was pretty cool too, as the fixers, I don't want to call them Rand security, but that's what they are, came in to try to look for Danny Rand. And she basically kicked their butts out of the dojo while Danny is doing his best Oliver Queen up in the ceiling and just holding on to whatever to stay up there.
I really liked that she's taking the initiative. It's all these people are trying to pay her off. Even Danny's like trying to pay her off. And Colleen's like, no, I can take care of myself. I didn't want to be part of this to begin with. Just leave me alone and go away.
But now she's welcome back to Flight Club anytime. And I know I said Flight Club, I meant Fight Club, not Flight Club. If she can pilot a plane or a helicopter, I mean, Harrison Ford probably needs somebody to ride shotgun with him. So,
yeah, watch those landings.
Definitely. The one thing that I wrote down as a note that we haven't talked about is when Colleen was telling Danny to get a shower and use the bathroom over at Starbucks. Don't use my stuff. Go over to Starbucks, use their bathroom. And the question I have, do they have showers in Starbucks now?
No, but if you know what you're doing, you can sort of wash in the sink.
I've seen that at too many rest areas, camping sites. Yeah, I don't want to see that again. But yeah, you're right. It can be done. Do you have any last things to talk about before we move on?
About halfway through the episode, I texted my best friend, Iron Fist is so boring.
No, I was doing other things. So I was actually opening mail during it.
I know it picks up towards the end of the season. Once Claire shows up, things are a little better. But right now, it's just...
It's not like we're blazing through it either. It's been a month since we did our last episode on it. So there's that too.
But it's just like right now, it's... Oh, is Danny going to get his identity back? Yeah, probably. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll see when he's... Because even in Arrow, and this is the second mention I've mentioned Oliver Queen, but even in Arrow,
well,
there's a court process.
It's rich white guy goes, is in some sort of vehicular accident, spends time away, and then comes back to claim a fortune. And everyone is like, dude, it doesn't work that way.
Well, Oliver Queen in Arrow, his big deal is being declared undead. It's not really a fight for money. Danny's got both things going on. He's got to prove that he's Danny, prove that he's not dead, and he's got to take over his company again. So he's got three things, I guess, going on, which is different than Oliver. But Oliver had the whole I'm a secret assassin thing going on, and I've got to save my city, and I've got to finish my father's.
Yeah, he's got that, and Danny's got I got a glowing fist, and I'm running away from my destiny.
Yeah, a lot of destiny stuff. Okay. Well, we'll get to it next week when we talk about the fourth episode, 8 Diagram Dragon Palm, I guess, and know what that means. We didn't talk about what this episode meant.
I'm pretty sure it's once again supposed to be some sort of kung fu move. And once again, I couldn't find any mention of this anywhere.
Go figure.
So,
Rolling Thunder Cannon Punch. Shrug. I mean, I was thinking maybe Cannon Punch was when he punched the brass knuckle thing to pieces, but I don't know. And coincidentally, there was a huge thunderstorm rolling through when I was watching here. So I'm like, Rolling Thunder. Oh, there you go. Rolling Thunder. Anyway, next week we will talk about 8 Diagram Dragon Palm. And then in between now and next Thursday, Sunday is our main recording spot. And we will be taking on Legion Chapter 6. So if you haven't seen the FX series Legion, please do so. Watch up to episode 6 and then come check out our show. It is an amazing series. I can't wait to watch the next three. I guess it's only 3 episodes because it was an 8 episode series, right? Did I get that wrong? Is it like more like 10 or 12?
No, I think it's 8.
8. So only 3 episodes left. 6 is this Sunday. So we'll go on that. So these podcasts that we do are actually posted on the GunnaGeek.com network. And we have a special announcement today about the GunnaGeek.com network. The Gunna Geek Network welcomes the Undaunted podcast to be the 24th show right now active on the network. And in their latest episode, Amos, who interviewed me a few episodes ago, interviewed Richard Gunther. Now, Richard Gunther joins Amos and discusses editing the perfection out of an episode and listening back to your work and how amazing Tom Merritt is. So they talk about that over on the latest episode of Undaunted, which you can now get at GunnaGeek.com. Lauren, are you excited about checking out Undaunted?
I definitely am. Welcome to the network, guys.
Yep. It's Amos, and what he does on the show is he interviews other podcasters and gets the behind the scenes story. So it's not like a podcast 101. It's like literally trying to get you to cry on the show. That's what he's trying, you know. That sort of stuff, you know, the backstory, the emotion and the successes and the lows and that sort of thing. So you can catch that over on Undaunted if you're interested in podcasting and the stories behind podcasting. So different show than Better Podcasting, but still focused on talents of podcasting, the personalities of podcasting, I guess. I mean, talent would be you, Lauren, not me, but anyway, personalities, I guess.
It's very kind of you to say so.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you are the voiceover. By the way, I did my next voiceover act now too. So I've got another voiceover thing going on. So I will link that when it comes out. All right. With that, we're going to move on to some news. Oh, we got some good news. Lauren and I were talking about it, and some just makes me angry. Hulk always angry.
Yeah, sort of kicking off the news this week. Let's get the angering news out of the way first. Earlier this week, a Marvel Comics editor, well, I forget if we mentioned about the death of Flo Steinberg on July 23rd. I don't think we did. No. I think we were off that.
Yep.
So she was also known as Fabulous Flo, and she worked at Marvel Comics at the very beginning. She was the secretary for Stan Lee for a time. And then for a while, she's one of like the few people who actually worked there. And she died on the 23rd. And it was, you know, a huge loss for the comics community. But in honor of her on July 28th, Heather Antos, who is a Marvel Comics editor, she's worked on titles like The Unbelievable Gwenpool, went out with a bunch of other colleagues at Marvel, all women, and said, it's the Marvel Milkshake Crew, hashtag Fabulous Flo. And because this was an all-women crew, they got harassed on Twitter, on just all sorts of social media, accused of ruining comics. They got DM'd just horrible, horrible things. But despite that, in support of these women and women in comics, the entire comics community, writers, artists, editors from all around the comics world rallied around them with the hashtag Make Mine Milkshake, including DC Comics. So on August 1st, the official DC Comics Twitter said, "Cheers, Marvel ladies," and then had all of their female staff in a picture, and they're all making the Wonder Woman, you know, crossed wrist, the Wonder Woman bracers thing. So that was really cool. And it was just a really nice gesture. So come on, if you think that you're tired of hearing us talk about stories of women being harassed, we're tired of being harassed. I'm very lucky in that you guys are awesome. And my Twitter is a place of positivity from y'all. But there's a lot of women out there in the fandom community who aren't that lucky. So if you are happy with a creator's work, please reach out and let them know. Gee, that voice of positivity. It costs nothing to be nice. Just come on, guys. It's a really bad world out there sometimes. Don't make it worse.
Yeah, I will definitely be, after the show, I'll be reaching out to all these people and saying thumbs up, I support you. And as a comics consumer, I won't say an expert, but as a massive comic consumer, I bought like $60 this past week, which part of it was because Robotech had a lot of variant covers this past week. It was great. But I don't care, quite frankly, what gender you are. I don't care about anything about you, as long as you can make a good story and visually present it to me in a way. Now, some artwork I don't get personally, and I'm not really a fan of, but if the story is good, I'll definitely read it. And if the artwork's good and amazing, I will definitely read it as well. But if there's a lack of story, I won't really care about that either. So my point is, give me a good product and I will buy it. I don't care what gender you are. And as far as bringing women into comics, that is awesome. Bring the diversity in, because that diversity means that there's so many more stories that are being able to be told from different points of view. Like the Mockingbird comic, that was awesome. That was straight up my alley. I loved the humor. I loved the background. I loved everything about it. It wasn't the most serious thing, but I loved it. It was fun. It was entertaining. That's the sort of thing that I want. So there you go. I really appreciate all the women in comics, and I will be supporting you after this show. So there you go.
So now that we've gotten past the downer part of the show, did Marvel just tease the return of Peggy Carter to the MCU?
I think they did. Yeah, I was watching this happen in live and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. So Lauren, tell everybody what happened.
Okay, so earlier this week, Hayley Atwell dropped by Marvel Studios on her Instagram. She had a couple pictures with Louis Desposito, and she had a picture with him in front of a mural of Captain America and the Howling Commandos that's there in Marvel Studios. And it could just be that she's visiting an old friend, or it could be that she might show up in a flashback in Ant-Man and the Wasp, or it could be that she shows up in the upcoming Captain Marvel movie. Or it could be that something to do with the time cube in Infinity Wars. I mean, I'm just spitballing here. But whatever it takes to get Peggy Carter back in the MCU, I'm so there for.
I don't even care if it's a one-shot or a mid-credit scene or a post-credit scene on the next movie, like Thor Ragnarok or whatever. To bring her character back in and to tie up those loose ends, Marvel needs to do that. They definitely need to do that. And then there was something about possibility of bringing her back and being part of Steve Rogers' life again. And I was just scratching my head on that thinking, well, you got Sharon. So that's an awkward love triangle between Sharon, Peggy, and Steve. But I guess Peggy and Steve are always going to be the I don't know. My head hurts. I don't know. Because, of course, I'm all about the Sharon Carter.
And speaking of Sharon Carter, There was an article on IO9 that I think you'll agree with called "We Should Have Seen Sharon Carter on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D."
We should have. We so should have. I was reading this and going, oh my gosh, I can't believe we didn't get this. Maybe we'll get it next year.
Yeah, there was a press event at the annual Television Critics Association where Emily Van Camp was asked about her role as Sharon Carter. And it was discussed about her working on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but she was still on Revenge at the time. And she added that she has no idea if she'll appear in any future shows or movies, but she's amenable to it. And she especially liked the idea of teaming up with Brie Larson as Captain Marvel. You guys put it out there, she said with a smile.
No, I really hope that they're able to bring Sharon Carter back. And I think, I don't know if she would have saved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, brought up the ratings at all or not. Maybe a little bit. You know, every 100,000 viewers helps in the ratings, but I just want to see her more. And I think she would be a great fit. And would be more of a current link back and forth to a character such as Steve Rogers and the Captain America Civil War team, because she was involved in all of that. So I think it would be good for her to bring. Remember the scene in Captain America Civil War where she is bringing Steve his shield, his uniform, and Steve's two buddies are in the car watching. Remember that one?
Yes.
So she's been around several of these guys. I think she can bring some of that cred back over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it would be good. At the time, the article said she was filming Revenge, so I can see the conflict since she was the main character in Revenge. But yeah, it'll be good to see her anyway. Now, talking about other dudes in Marvel, we've got a little bit of not only Marvel dudes, but Marvel dudettes coming up.
We do. The official Disney Twitter account announced on August 1st, Ant-Man and the Wasp has begun production. See it in theaters July 6th, 2018. And then a little emoji of a magnifying glass and an emoji of an ant.
Aww.
And then it's just a little like 14-second long video, but hey, yeah, get hype.
I watched a few episodes of Archer lately, like the first episodes. And just in my mind, I'm hearing, do you want ads? Because that's how you get ads. So having Archer come in on Ant-Man would be awesome. I don't think it's ever going to happen because it's two different studios and properties. And
we could get a cameo from H. John Benjamin.
That would be awesome. Just a cameo. That would be amazing. Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, talking about awesomeness, we have some Domino awesomeness for you as well.
I'm so happy. We have our first image of Zazie Beetz as Domino, and she looks amazing. She's the picture. It's on Ryan Reynolds' Twitter. Some people just know how to work a red carpet, and it's her in costume. She's wearing like this black kind of catsuitish thing and a lot of like, you know, ammo pouches and stuff and gloves. And she's using the Deadpool costume as like a bearskin rug in front of the fireplace. You remember that pose that Deadpool did in front of the fireplace with the meh?
Mm-hmm.
And she looks amazing. Okay. So Zazie Beetz is black. The character of Domino in the comics has like pure white skin with a little black like eye patch looking marking around one of her eyes. The way that she is here is that little different colored patch. It's like a vitiligo kind of look, which is like a look of realism, and it looks awesome. She looks so cool. I love how she looks. Some people are complaining because her hair is too poofy. Whatever. She looks awesome. I cannot wait to see her in action.
It's going to be a fun time as X-Men transitions more completely out of the original X-Men run now with Professor X's demise in Logan. All right, that's all the news for this week, but wait, don't go anywhere, because we have some of your feedback coming up right now. Lauren, what do you have for feedback this week?
All right, from Mr. Paracletes on Twitter. He sent us an image from Thor Ragnarok, sort of. Loki. Surprise! And everybody, it's the picture of Thor and Valkyrie and Bruce Banner looking, and Bruce Banner looks kind of shocked in a little thought bubble. He's remembering the last time he saw Loki, you know, where he smashed him into the ground as the Hulk.
Puny
it's
God.
It's a pretty good picture.
Yeah, it was.
It's a good picture. We will have it linked in our show notes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pericles, for sending that on our way.
Andy Mingna retweeted somebody at us, take that, Hollywood writers. And what he retweeted was Pierre Scaretta said the funniest line in the Thor Ragnarok trailer was written by a Make-A-Wish kid.
Oh, this is so cool. So
it is. They had this kid there, and I don't have the article pulled up, but he was visiting the set for the day, and he was the one that suggested the he's a friend from work line. And they liked it, and they kept it, and now that's the thing that everyone is quoting from the trailer. So good job, kid.
Might be the single most memorable line from the movie Thor Ragnarok, which comes out in just a few months. It's awesome. Got the countdown going now.
Cannot wait.
And way to go for Marvel to make this happen. And then just they're not really exploiting it, because if they were exploiting it, they would have done so right from the beginning. But now they're just saying, hey, look, you know, this is pretty cool. Look at what's happened over here. So it's just great what Marvel's able to do.
And at Adana Girl sent us OMG Bearded Cap and retweeted Lego Loki, Avengers Infinity War SDCC banner recreated in Lego. Have you seen this picture?
Yeah, it's awesome, Christy.
It's adorable. And Bearded Cap is definitely the funniest part of this picture. He looks like a little mountain man.
This is all pretty good. I mean, I'll admit, I probably just missed the boat a little bit from the transition from just playing with Legos to being a connoisseur of minifigs. But I enjoy seeing minifigs all over the place, which I think is the correct term for Lego figures, minifigs, I believe.
I think so. I have a few. I have some Star Wars ones that I've gotten for birthdays and stuff. And I love them. They're little keychains and things.
It's great. This Lego banner and so cool. Way to go. Way to go, folks.
It's adorable.
It's adorbs. Well, that's all the feedback we're going to talk about this week. If you want to get your thoughts into us, please reach us at all the great ways, including our Twitter account at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Facebook, you can find us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast. You can always email me, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com as well. All right, Lauren, how are we going to get this one out? Are we going to, I always say skip, walk this one out. We've done hopping. How about kneeling through cut glass?
How about we John McClane this one out? We walk through the cut glass.
Oh, good pull. Good pull. John McClane. Here we go. John McClaning our way out. As we close the show today, first of all, I just want to say, Haley, we miss you. Come back. But also, I want to promote the fact that on Saturday, the 19th of August, 2017, Gunna Geek will be at Gen Con. And what do I mean by that? Cody from Game Life Balance US and his co-host Jonathan Martin will be there. Cody is the verified Cody Gaw on Twitter. He's also a WGN radio personality in Chicago and is also the host of the official Curiosity.com podcast. They will be joined by none other than common Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. guest Michelle from Starling Tribune. And guess what? Me. Yeah, me, the vice president of Gunna Geek Network Relations and Gunna Geek Network Development, actually. I don't even know my own title. That's sad. I'm also the host of Better Podcasting, the podcast about the hobby podcaster, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, this show, the GunnaGeek.com show, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Long Box Edition, and Starling Tribune. Yeah, all that talent wrapped into a panel, not just one panel, but two panels. So come check us out, 10 a.m. in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. Again, this is Saturday, the 19th of August at Gen Con. The description, the title of this panel is What is a Podcast? A Miserable Little Pile of Secrets. The description of this first panel is podcasts are hot these days. But what exactly is a podcast? How do you listen? Through earphones. And how do you start podcasting yourself? Very carefully. Members of the Gunna Geek Podcast Network explain how to get in on the game. And then directly following that at 11 a.m., so no break, just bang, bang, from one panel to the other in the Crown Plaza. Whoosh, we don't have to go anywhere. In Pennsylvania Station C, the title of this panel is Purposeful Podcasting with the Gonna Geek Network. The description is, what are you trying to do with your podcast? Have fun. And how can you do it the best? Gonna Geek Podcast Network veterans share their secrets. Well, podcasting secrets, not like individual dirty, like scintillating secrets. Best practices, industry trends, and a question and answer or Q&A for those in the lingo for casual and pro podcasters. So come on out. We'll be glad to see you take your questions and have a great conversation. But I'm not the only one that's going somewhere. Lauren, where are you headed?
Well, it's not until September, but September 15th through 17th, if you're in the Houston area, check out Fandemic Tour. It's at NRG Park, NRG Center, right across from where Astroworld used to be. Pour one out for Astroworld. It's got a lot of great guests. I'm sorry. I'm still really, really excited because Sebastian Stan and Bruce Campbell are going to be there.
I'm surprised you're even still talking.
I know. Also, Michael Rooker, Sean Gunn, Norman Reedus, Stephen Yeun, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Adam Baldwin, Greg Nicotero, James Marsters, Julie Benz, whole bunch of artists and inkers and writers. And it just, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have more information, maybe a giveaway or two coming up. So yeah, keep your ears open. And if you're going to be in the Houston area that weekend, look for me there.
Lauren, if there is a Sean Gunn and Michael Rooker panel, and if you don't record that somehow, you have failed this podcast, because that was awesome when we heard them before as well. The children, Rooker, the children.
I will definitely be there and I will do my best to ensure that the recorder is running.
Oh, if you could take video, that'd be awesome too. But I know from personal experience, it's a little bit hard to do. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about when I say the children, Rooker, the children, we actually had Haley go to a con. I don't remember exactly which con it was, but she went to a convention. She sat in on the panel for Michael Rooker and Sean Gunn. And it was when we did excerpts from that panel on a previous episode. It was so good. It was amazing. And it was episode 70. I can't believe it's over 100 episodes ago. Episode 70 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talk about the panel clip. So if you want to know what we're talking about, go check that out. And they are just two of the many people that are going to be at this Fandemic tour in Houston. And I'm very envious. I wish there was something like that around here. I mean, here I am trying to fan out over your stuff and you're like, oh, I wish I was going to go to Gen Con.
You're going to Gen Con. You know how jealous I am? I wanted to go so bad this year.
And Haley just got back from SDCC.
It's the 50th ceremony. It's the 50th anniversary. I wanted to go and spend the whole weekend gaming and go to the Critical Role show.
Well, if you could score a plane ticket up here, I can bed you down somewhere. You know, I have my resources now in the Indianapolis area. So there, I'm just going to scintillate that out. If you happen to come across some free tax money or something, there you go. All right, so that's where we're going to be. Haley was just at San Diego Comic-Con, which I was insanely jealous about until 2011 when I went. I think she did it the right way. I think she didn't stress out about being in panels, because you can always get that stuff later. Maybe not the clips, but you can get the panels later because everybody's recording them and they let those stand up these days. And just enjoy the sights and the scenes and the gas lamp district. It's just awesome. Any of these places, I will never go to San Diego Comic-Con again unless they want me to do a panel. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con, I'm available. You know, like these ladies are available for Marvel. I'm available to do a panel at San Diego Comic-Con. So just, you know, come and call me and we'll make it happen. But in the meantime, as I am totally out of my realm here, I just want to thank you, the listener. First of all, you've made it this far in the podcast. Congratulations, especially when it's just Lauren and me. We know that Haley brings the funny from time to time, and we sorely miss Haley, and we can't wait for her back next time. We could have actually waited to record later, but we decided, well, I'd probably fall asleep because I'm an old man, so we went anyway. And I just want to thank you for listening, downloading this show. It's awesome. I know downloads have been sporadic or posts have been sporadic over the month of July 2017. I'm hoping to be back on schedule here in the next week or so. So I appreciate your patience as we work through some production issues.
And I'd like to thank everybody who gets a hold of us on social media. We love it when you send us, you know, the stuff that you find during the week or when you tell us your opinion on stuff. Just let us know that you're thinking about us. It makes us feel loved, and we love you guys. We love knowing that you're listening to us, that we're not just kind of talking into the void. And we really appreciate hearing from you. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep, thanks. Well, I think that's it for this week. We really had some fun with this one. I was worried it was Iron Fist, but we made it through, and we'll make it through again next week. So until next time, I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye, see you guys next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Thus endeth the show. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.